What's up, Brady and Icons, and welcome back to Dare to Be Iconic, the podcast made for icons daring to be themselves. I'm your host, Amanda Policelli, and for today's Tea Time Sesh, we are joined by a very special everyday icon. We are joined by my girl, Bex. Bex is back on the podcast. Honestly, how lucky are we to have Bex twice in one season? Like, you guys may remember Bex from earlier on in this season when we spoke about misogyny and breaking the silence. And now, well, today we are breaking the silence again, but we are talking about dating, we are talking about healing, and we are talking about owning our bodies as young women. We are talking about sexuality, everyone, and we're talking about it from two different perspectives, me in a new relationship, and Bex in this new era of her life in singleness, and I am so, so beyond excited for her. But before we spill the tea on all that good stuff, make sure to connect with me on socials, on Instagram and TikTok. It's at Amanda Policelli _ and at Dare to Be Iconic _. And if you're on LinkedIn, Radiant Icons, well, you already know what I'm going to say. Make sure to connect with me on there. It's Amanda Policelli. All of my socials will be linked in the show notes below. But anywho, anyway, let's spill the tea, shall we? Are you ready, Radiant Icons? Because your tea time sesh is starting now.
All right, Bex. It's been long awaited. Hey, girl. I feel like so much has happened since our last tea time sesh with the Radiant Icons on Dare to Be Iconic. So welcome back, first of all. Welcome back to Dare to Be Iconic.
Thank you. I love being here.
And we love having you here because it's always a chaotic, unhinged, and iconic time, okay? I mean, it's honestly described our friendship, but anywho, so much has happened since the last time we have spilt the tea together on this very podcast. So let's just get into it, shall we? Let's do a little life update. Where are we both in our relationship journeys?
Believe it or not, is the same room that I was in the last time we filmed a podcast episode. And now it has a whole bed in it that I built.
Period.
So clearly, relationship status has changed a little bit.
So how would you describe the season, Bex? How would you describe it for you that you are currently in?
Well, I wrote a whole bunch of notes that I'll be referring to. This first one already a little bit out of date, and it was a week ago that I wrote all these notes. It says post-heartbreak, still kind of in heartbreak, TBH, but healing season for sure.
We're healing, thriving, and growing this summer because we're healing, but we're making an iconic, and you are doing it in your single era, and we are here for it. So let's do it.
Hot girl summer.
Honestly. Hot girl summer, honestly. Hot girl summer. I think for me, well, not even I think, my relationship status has changed significantly since the last time we have spoken on this podcast publicly. And also, you know, since the last time, you know, my Radiant Icons have probably heard a relationship update. They're probably like, what the heck is she talking about? Miss anti-men over here waving her flag all the time. I'm currently in a relationship. I have a boyfriend and he makes me extremely happy. So yeah.
Yeah. And I met him. I adore him. Green flags all the way. Fantastic. So happy. Love this season for you.
Thank you. It's always the opposites because when you think about it, when we first became friends,
exactly. You were in a committed relationship.
Exactly.
I was single.
Uh-huh. And then a couple weeks later, absolutely. And then I got my heart broken through a letter in a box. I mean, you know what? Everything truly does happen for a reason, because if that letter in a box ever happened, we would never be on this podcast talking.
And I genuinely believe that, like, the closeness of our friendship happened, like, post that breakup for you, mm-hmm. because I was like, she's going through something, she needs somebody to be there, and then I was there, and then we were talking until, like, the middle of the night.
2 a.m., 3 a.m., honestly, it's so on brand for us. We never go to bed early.
Last girls' night when you were like, I cleared the schedule until 2 a.m. Yes, I have work in the morning, but
it's not as bad as the girls' night till 4 a.m. I'm not going to lie to you. That was probably the latest we've ever gone.
Yeah. But it was iconic. It was iconic.
Oh, it's always iconic. Always iconic. But, like, truly, I agree with your sentiment of, like, you know, we became friends at such a pivotal time in both of our lives. Me, it was post breakup, and you, it was in the beginning of this new relationship. And I think it's so beautiful that we kind of get to see that mirrored time and time again for us, just in different, you know, seasons of our lives, whether it's breakup, whether it's loss, whether it's career milestones and highs, right? Like, we get to be with each other through it all and really experience life together. And I think that's what's so beautiful about our friendship and, you know, how we came to be. But going back to dating and going back to healing, there's a lot that you learn when you were dating someone and also in that post-heartbreak era. So what's something that you've learned about yourself recently through dating or healing in this post-breakup era for yourself?
Recently in my post-breakup, like, kind of healing journey, I think the main thing that I learned is that you accept the love you think you deserve.
And yes, that absolutely
is going to be a theme throughout everything that we talk about for this episode. So I'm going to say it one more time. You accept the love you think you deserve.
Agreed.
Well, let that sink in. Yeah.
We'll give a moment of silence for the mic drop, for the iconic insight of this episode, truly.
Yeah. So definitely in this new healing era, I'm trying to amp up kind of my self-worth.
Okay.
So that I stop allowing people that I love to not love me in return.
like that feeling of love is not reciprocated. And so for you, it's now in this new era of honestly focusing on you and what you need. It's figuring out how to love yourself first and then let someone else come in to reciprocate the love that you are pouring into yourself.
That, exactly.
Because now you know what you deserve, because you've been giving it to yourself this entire time.
And I deserve better.
You do deserve better, 1,000%. And I think what speaks so true to what you said is, like, the love that we think we deserve, right? That's the love that we receive, right? And it all is rooted in that, like, self-esteem, self-awareness. When, like, sometimes it's like those hurt versions of us accept the love that we think we deserve because we're still really hurt and we don't know how to get out of it. So we cling on to what we think is safe. I know for me, I've mentioned it a couple of times on here, or at least alluded to my first relationship ever. It's not the letter in the box one, but my first relationship was 2 months and it was a horrible relationship. And I don't really talk about it, but I know that 19-year-old Amanda, like, she just wanted to be loved so badly because she didn't love herself.
Exactly.
And that's why I was in that horrible, abusive relationship. And that left me with a lifetime of trauma that I still deal with now at 26 years old. And now being in this new relationship, I get to experience what a healthy relationship actually is, where I can communicate with my partner and I can talk to him about everything and anything. And, you know, most of the topics of conversations that we have to work through as a couple together is the stuff that happened at 19 years old for me. All that love that I thought I deserved, all that bad love, right, that I took in and has affected me throughout here. Now it's coming out center stage, right, where I have to deal with it with my partner and move forward, because that version of Amanda just wanted to be loved so badly that she took anything. And now that I know who I am at 26 and I'm in a healthy relationship, I have to work through the pain that 19-year-old Amanda endured.
Exactly. When you are in a place of, like, hurt and you have diminished your own self-worth,
exactly,
you'll accept
anything
that people call love, anything that people call caring about you. And then, you know, I in my most recent relationship, I constantly found myself thinking, like, I'm so lucky
that,
you know, somebody, you know, loves me, that, like, I have this man, that he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what healthy love looks like.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a healing journey for a while, but you know.
No, it's, definitely.
It's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason, where it's like, in order to find healthy love, you need to love yourself first.
I think that is the first step in healing, truly, is that self-awareness of, I know I deserve better. And that's when that shift starts, where it's like, I want to now take control of my life and move forward and truly heal. Because now I know I don't deserve the shit that I was put through in that relationship. Now it's time for me to truly start to love myself again. So you mentioned this self-awareness that you are now gaining in this healing season for yourself post-breakup. I would love to know, what kind of trauma or relationship patterns do you notice in your current season, or do you foresee happening for you while you're in this self-awareness stage of really taking that initiative to switch your mindset and start your healing journey?
So in all of my past relationships, I've been cheated on. So, you know, if you truly, genuinely, wholeheartedly believe that you are not enough, you are going to allow people, whether it's like romantic partners or just like friendships, any relationship, you're mm-hmm. going to allow people to treat you like you are not enough. And I don't mean that in like a victim blaming way. It's more of like, I'm reaching out and I'm like, you are enough. You deserve better. And if somebody treats you like you're too much or you're not enough for them, then they're just not the right person to have in your life.
Point blank and period. Point blank and period. I feel that so hardcore, especially when you mentioned the you're too much thing, because for me, a pattern that always comes up in relationships is my ambition. My ambition is used as something against me. They end up resenting me because of how ambitious I am. And at first, they think they love an ambitious woman, and then they end up getting intimidated. And then eventually they end up resenting me, and they use it against me as a reason as to why I am too much for them, or they cannot handle me. And yes, I've been told that multiple times by my past partners. But going into this relationship now with my current partner, it's something that is celebrated. That's something that he actually really does enjoy about me. It's one of his favorite traits about me, which is also one of my favorite traits, is my ambition. However, when we first started dating on our first date, he mentioned, and I think I told you this, Bex, he kept mentioning how my ambition was something that he was so attracted to. And to protect myself, I said, you don't need to flatter me because that doesn't impress me. I already know I'm ambitious, right? I already had those walls up because of my prior relationships and my past history with my ambition being used against me. And when it comes to someone thinking you are too much, or they cannot handle you, they are just not meant to be in your life. I know that those two partners were definitely not my person. But now having someone that actually celebrates me and that actually champions me, okay, I can stay firm in who I am and accept that love that I am receiving, because now I fully love myself.
And I think it's really beautiful that like through our healing, we can kind of show both sides, right? Because like, I've always felt like I'm not enough. And that's why, you know, when my most recent ex cheated on me twice, I stayed until he did it a third time, because I truly didn't believe that there was, you know, anything better, and that this was the love that I deserved, and I'm not enough, and there's something about me that's causing this to happen repeatedly. And it is. It's that I'm allowing this to continue. It's that I'm allowing people to treat me like I'm not enough when I am. All you need to do is be authentically your iconic self, and you will find your people, because the people who are attracted to that will, you know, be attracted to you. And that's how you find like the people that genuinely care about you and who will tell you that you're enough, or that like you're not too much for them, or, you know, will appreciate your ambition, who will love the dorky way that you lip sync to songs. Like, just continue to be like authentically yourself, and you will find people that truly love you for you. That's kind of where I am in my own healing journey, is that I am just trying to reconnect with myself and find that authentic version of me, because I spent the last almost 3 years shrinking myself to fit perfectly in somebody else's life. And, you know, it hit the hardest that, like, I have just fully given up on being my own person after we broke up. And that first day off came around, and I was like, okay, well, this is the day that I dedicate to spending from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed doing whatever my ex wanted to do. What do I want to do? What do I even like to do?
So how do you keep from projecting your past pain onto people who don't deserve it, that have nothing to do with that pain that you have endured? Because that is something that I'm currently struggling with in my relationship, is, you know, navigating my traumas and my triggers from my first relationship into now this new healthy relationship. So how do you deal with it?
For me, the oh shit moments in a relationship have always been the moment that I realize that I am still in the cycle that I thought I left. Like, I'm bringing up something that, you know, my partner did that hurt me. And all of a sudden, I'm 19 again. Having it have the same outcome and just sitting there and, like, begging to be treated correctly, feeling as crazy as I felt like in that first relationship that I was in, which it then opens me up to, like, being gaslit and believing that, like, it must be something that I myself am doing. Like, oh, I must actually be the crazy one, because here I am at 24 having the same argument with somebody that I had at 19. Like, I clearly have made no character development. Like, this must be a me problem. So now, instead of taking that as a, oh, I must be the crazy one moving forward, the next time that I am, you know, seeking some sort of romantic connection with somebody, a relationship, if I start to see those patterns, I'm going to know that it's not something that I'm doing, and it's not something that I have to accept, you know?
I understand exactly where you are coming from, Bex, because for me, I'm in this stage of, I know where these old wounds are coming from. I know they come from my first relationship at 19 years old. I know that it's because I haven't dealt with them, and now I am forced to deal with them. That's why they are coming on full force. But I think the beautiful thing about the relationship that I am in now is that my partner and I actually talk through them. We actually communicate. It was actually my second date with my now boyfriend. He asked to kiss me, and I had a full-on panic attack. I knew I wasn't ready to kiss him yet, but I had a full-on panic attack. I did not foresee myself freaking out as much as I did. I had a full-on crash out. I prepared myself to tell him I didn't want to kiss him, I'm not ready. But what I didn't know was going to happen was my body. My body kept so much trauma within it that I freaked the hell out. And I disassociated and I shrunk myself. And that was me going back to 19-year-old Amanda when she shrunk herself and was so scared and, like, so broken. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't think I was going to get emotional. But
it's a very emotional thing to share, and it's a very vulnerable thing. So don't apologize for getting emotional.
Thanks,
over
girl.
It.
I love
so
you.
So valid.
But
I love you.
No, like, it's not a tea time session if we're not crying, but I just remember shrinking myself, and any other guy would have not realized how much I disassociated. But my current partner now, who wasn't even my boyfriend at the time, was like, you don't need to shrink yourself. You're okay. And he helped me through that panic attack. He asked, how can he help me? He was checking in on me. He was being very observant. And for me, I knew I was reacting from a past wound and I communicated with him. I was like, this literally has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me because I have not dealt with it yet. And now, obviously, in this relationship, a lot of things come up that I haven't dealt with that at least I get to talk to him now. And it's us going through this together and moving forward. I'm at the stage where I know where these wounds come from. I know where they stem from. I take full responsibility that I didn't deal with them until now. But I think the beautiful part of being in now a healthy relationship where I feel safe and seen by my partner is that I can now work through it with someone and it's not just me by myself. You know?
Right. And a lot of these things, like, especially in your situation, you might not have even noticed. Like, because in your regular day-to-day life, you're not going to be like thinking like, oh, this person is going to try to kiss me and, you know, I need to be prepared for that. And you might not have even known like until that moment that it was going to be like such a trigger for you and like bring back so much of that past wound. And just having somebody who accepts you and is willing to listen and make you feel seen and heard and do whatever it takes to help you through this and help you heal and heal together it's such a beautiful thing. So one of the main things that I am working on now is recognizing the people around me that elicit my authentic self, the people who make me feel seen and heard and cared for and loved without anything in return, the people who are there for me because they want to be, the people that I feel like I can just be myself. Like, I don't have to worry. I don't have to calculate, like, oh, is this going to be too much? Is this like being too weird? Like, it's those people in my life that I'm kind of using as a guide to establish what a healthy relationship looks like. Like, a partner that I want to move forward with should feel as safe to me as my friends do. And I think that was one of the... Mm-hmm. major things in my past relationship is my close friendship with Michigan, and realizing the way that he made me feel seen. He made me feel heard. He remembered the things that I told him. He remembered the things that I told him. That is bare fucking minimum. That is bare minimum, but he remembered the things that I told him. He made me feel seen, heard, accepted. I could be, you know, everything about me around him. And never once have I ever felt like any sort of like judgment from him because of, you know, being myself.
I think one of the most sexiest things or attractive things that a guy can do for their partner is make them feel seen, make them feel heard, make them feel secured. That is what you need in a partner. And I didn't realize until my current relationship where all those things are happening for me, how much I actually need that and how special it truly is, because I never had that. In my previous relationships, I only had that in a friendship sense. So having it in a romantic sense is something that it is new to learn.
And it can be like jarring at first and like almost be a little uncomfortable because you're so used to that not being the way that a relationship works.
And I think that's also really sad that a lot of women in our generation are so used to like the bare minimum. Like, we are not used to a good guy treating us well. We're used to the mediocre, honestly, it's mediocre, or the shit guys treating us like absolute shit and giving us breadcrumbs, you know? But when a good guy comes along and actually has all these amazing things and is showing us that he cares and that he listens and everything else on the list, it's like, oh, huh? Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, what do you mean they care? Like, what do you mean? Like, this is a joke, right? Like, they don't actually mean it.
You bring up a really good point about, like, women, especially in our generation, just being so accustomed to accepting the bare minimum. And now that we're kind of like growing and learning that we deserve more and we deserve better, what advice would you give to your younger self who was accepting the bare minimum from these shitty men?
Ooh, the advice I would give her, I would say a lot of things to 19-year-old Amanda. I would say a lot of things to her. Like, I feel so incredibly sad for that version of me. Like, I feel like, oh my God. I feel so sad for her because she just wanted to be loved so badly. And I wish she like loved herself a little bit more. The advice I would give to her is that you are so much more than what this boy is treating you. You are so much more than the pain that he's putting you through. And I'm sorry. I am so sorry that you're dealing with all this pain. And it's not fair. It sucks. And it really sucks. But you will be okay. And there is hope that you can open your heart up again and navigate this pain that this monster inflicted upon you with someone who actually is worth it, who is actually worth your time. That's what I would tell her.
Period. I think if I were to go back and have a conversation with my younger self, probably one of the first things that I would tell her is that it's not her fault.
Yes.
Now it's my turn. There has been so much in my life where I truly, genuinely believed that it was my fault. Relationships, regular life things aside, that I believed it was my fault. And I would like to go back and tell teenage Bex that, like, you're 16. You didn't cause that, actually. You know? Then I think the very next thing would be, he doesn't deserve you. There is nothing that this boy could say or do to just deserve to have you.
I think for me, what really hit me was that, like, it's not your fault thing. Like, there's a lot of like blame and like shame and guilt that I still carry with me today that, you know, does affect my relationship with my boyfriend. Like, it does. I think we as women in the society that we're in, you know, we deal with a lot of guilt and shame and blame and embarrassment when it comes to like expressing our sexuality, expressing our feelings in general. And it's just not a bad thing. And it's not your fault that you feel and that you want to be loved.
There's just so much shame that's like built into a woman wanting to be sexual, be intimate, you know. And still like so much like slut shaming. And it's really one of the things that I am trying hard to combat in myself, and being like, I'm not going to let this double standard stop me from doing the things that I want to do. Because if I was a man and I slept with my date on the first date, I would be applauded, you know? So I'm not going to let the fact that I'm a woman expressing my sexuality like make me feel bad about that in any way. I hope that kind of helps other people feel the same, like other women who are watching this, who have some shame in being a sexual being who also has wants and desires, and to kind of take charge, like change the narrative, like it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, like owning your body, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
That is something that I struggle with, and like I'm okay with saying that. Like, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I grew up in a very religious background, and expressing your sexuality is something that is looked down upon. It's taboo, and there's a lot of shame for young women, especially that come from that religious background, because then you're dealing with purity culture, right? And then you're dealing with the fabric of society of that slut shaming and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of things as young women that we deal with constantly. And I think the biggest way to reclaim this double standard, or reclaim this purity culture, or reclaim this slut shaming, is owning our bodies, owning who we are, and just being so comfortable in our sexuality. So that leads me to, how are you redefining your sensuality, your safety, and softness in this era?
That is a very good question. So again, we're being open and honest and owning our own bodies and our own wants and desires. I went on a first date last night, and I went home with him afterwards. And there was this like innate kind of built-in like instinct from society where I was slut-shaming myself. I was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Like, this is like, I'm such a whore, blah, blah, blah. Like all these things that I was saying to myself. And then I was like, but why do I feel like that? Like, why is that where my mind is going? Why am I putting all of those negative thoughts on myself? Like, whose idea was that, you know? Because it wasn't mine. I would never look at another woman doing that and be like, oh, she's such a skank. Like,
exactly. But when it comes to ourselves, we all of a sudden are putting ourselves down. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I have no problem putting myself down. I have no problem slut shaming myself for like going and doing something that I want. And I like convince myself on the drive back to his place that it was okay. And this is just like, I don't have to feel guilty for doing something that I want to do. And what also like made me think differently about it is, first, it was my idea. Crazy. I know, the woman making the first move.
Yes, queen. Get it, icon, period.
But when I decided like, hey, I think ask him if he wants to get out of here. So I leaned in and I was like, you know, do you live far from here? He said no. And I was like, do you want to get out of here? This poor boy, he was so well-spoken the entire night. In that moment, he was like, of course. Mm-hmm, let's. And it was the realization that he wasn't expecting that from me that made me so much more comfortable in that decision, in the way that he wasn't like, oh well, you know, I took her out, I paid her cover charge, I got her a drink, she's gonna sleep with me now. Like the way that he was so taken aback by it. And then also it was really fun. Like it was a good time. And you know, I don't know how much you feel comfortable sharing on your platform about this, but I will say that he put my needs first, which was very refreshing for, you know, the first time with a guy, as I'm sure a lot of women can relate to, unfortunately.
And honestly, Bex, I can relate to that so hardcore, especially on that expectations part, right? Like, for me, I've grown up with this constant belief that guys are only after me for one thing, and they only like me for my body. And whenever I go into relationships, that's the one thing that I have at the front of my mind that I'm always on edge about. But I do have to say, with my boyfriend, that fear, that thought has been diminished, that has been broken, because he's proven to me time and time again that that thought that I had ingrained from my mind, because society told me that all women are good for is our bodies, is false. That there's so much more to me that he likes, right, that he's attracted to, than just how amazingly hot I look on the outside, right? Like, I bring so much more to the table, and he can see that I'm just not my body. But still, at times, I do see it coming up in our relationship when I'm like, no, I just feel this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's your fear speaking, Amanda, because you just expect every guy to think that, but not every guy does think that. And you need to now reframe your mindset and retrain your brain to believe the truth and his actions and his words, you know?
And I feel like that fear of, you know, men only wanting like one thing is kind of the inverse effect of like the slut shaming and the purity culture that we grew up in, and feeling like, oh, well, we have to you know, cover up because we are temptation. So that then instills in your brain that that's the only thing that you're wanted for. And I feel like part of healing for most women, you know, is coming to terms with the fact that, like, you're going to find somebody that doesn't just want that from you.
1000%, Bex, because for me, this relationship that I'm currently in is healing a part of me that 19-year-old Amanda needed. That 19-year-old Amanda really, really needed. And that's what this relationship is healing for me. All those parts of me that I felt ashamed, embarrassed, guilty about, it's being healed in this relationship. And I saw something on TikTok the other day where it was like, when you're in a healthy relationship, all those traumas and triggers or issues that you haven't dealt with will be highlighted for you to work on, because that relationship will heal it. And I see that in real time happening for myself. And I think the biggest way on how I'm healing is not only in the communication aspect of it and truly feeling seen and heard, but also owning my body and owning what I want to do. And also realizing that not every guy just wants me for how I look. So for me, this relationship is a healing experience that I didn't really know I needed.
Yeah, and there's definitely like so much more to unpack there, because as we were saying, like, the things that you would want in a relationship is to feel seen, to feel heard, to be cared about. And if you genuinely believe that the only thing that you're wanted for is your body, you're not going to put all of the actual best parts of you forward. So with all of that being said about like reclaiming, you know, your sexuality and feeling the ability to be more open and honest with yourself and with your partner,
kind of brings me back to like it, creating a safe space where you can be fully yourself and express your desires and everything. So I guess my next question for you would be, what does safe love mean to you?
That's such a good question. And I don't think I've ever experienced safe love in my life, because this relationship is still very new. And I definitely think I am falling for him. Like, I'm not ashamed to say that. Like, I will always lead with my feelings. Like, I am falling for him. But in this case, my definition of safe love and what it means to me, honestly, it's just reiterating what we had said in the beginning, which is feeling seen, feeling heard, and feeling secure. Safe love to me is being truly seen for who you are and being accepted for it. To be in a space that is so safe that you can express every little thought, dream, wish, and desire that's in your heart and in your mind. And knowing that that person won't run away, know that person will be there and support you. So for me, that's what safe love means to me. How about you? What does it mean to you?
I should have been ready for the question to be flipped on me. safe love is the love that I get from my friends. Just that unconditional, always accepting. Even when I text you and I'm like, girl, I've really messed up. And you're like, no, it's okay. Tell me about it. And then you're completely on my side anyway.
Always does. That
full unconditional love. And I feel like bringing it all the way back to the very beginning is we accept the love that we think we deserve. So find the people who make you feel like you deserve the world. When I was getting ready for my date, I FaceTimed you to get like thoughts and opinions on the outfit. And you were sitting there and you were like hyping me up and you were like, you know, if he's not into you, like, he's stupid. You look so good. Like, this is going to go so well. Period. I was also texting my friend Michigan, and one of the things that he reaffirmed to me, he said, regardless on how this goes, he is lucky to be going out with you.
Yes,
and then absolutely. He followed that up with, remember your worth.
Point blank and period.
Find the people that will say things like that to you. Find the people that will just make you feel so loved and secure and constantly be picking you back up when you fall, or even if you stumble, just like being there to catch you, you know? And making sure that you remember that you are the prize, you know? Like, you don't need to change
yourself
for other people. We're just daring to be iconic. If you ever, for all of the younger icons out there, if you ever feel yourself shrinking, and this is something that I wish that I could have told to my younger self, so I'm going to tell to everybody else who's watching right now, from my healing era, if you ever find yourself shrinking to fit into somebody else's idea of what you should be, make them go find less.
All right, Radiant Icons, that is your Tea Time Sesh for today. If you enjoyed today's Tea Time Sesh, make sure to subscribe, to leave a rating, a review, to tell your friends about us, to tell everyone and anyone, because you know we love more Radiant Icons and our iconic community of ours. I truly will never get tired of saying that, Radiant Icons. Honestly, you guys, today's Tea Time Sesh was one of the hardest, most challenging conversations to date
on Dare to Be Iconic because it really pushed me and challenged me to, you know, open up about things that I maybe haven't opened up about before. And I'm just so happy that we can go on this Dare to Be Iconic journey together where we're all healing and evolving and growing. And I think that's the beauty of Dare to Be Iconic because, again, it's not just individualistic. It's a collective journey. And I'm so happy that we get to do it together, Radiant Icons. But anywho, anyway, next week we are spilling the tea on red flags, green flags, and the beige X. So anyway, I will chat with you next week. All right, remember, Radiant Icons, dare to be iconic. Bye.